We come today to the second week in this text, which serves as my year verse. And this series is called Walking Worthy. And it contains the context of my prayers for Valley Springs in 2014, for these months while I have been here, and then for the remainder of the months when I will not be here. And last week, I invited you to allow the impact of this text to guide your prayers for the church, for Valley Springs, for one another personally, for the leadership and the future leadership of this church, for yourself individually, as well as for Jane and me in our future. This is a call to prayer. And so I have been allowing this text to call myself into prayer. And before I read it, I just want to note a couple of things about the text. You notice what the apostle says, the apostle Paul writing to the Christians at Colossae. In verse 9 of Colossians 1, he says, "We have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." And then he lists these four areas of prayer: bearing fruit, growing specifically in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with God's unique power that comes through the resurrection of Jesus, and then being a worshiper. Worship not so much the formality of worship as the joyful thanksgiving that comes from the heart of somebody who knows grace personally. So we've just completed 2 months of 2014, and we've been praying, and God is answering in lots of ways. One of the ways that God is answering for Valley Springs' future is in the decision that was made by the search team that they are making to the session, the elder board of this church, and the elder board will in turn bring that recommendation to the congregation, which will vote in a congregational meeting about the future leadership of Valley Springs. I personally am very excited about the decision of the search team. I think it's a wonderful decision. To me, it's a tremendous answer to prayer over these past 2 years. I'm very, very thankful. Another way that God has been answering prayer is God has opened up an opportunity for Jane and me for future ministry in the Bay Area. It's a ministry that is involved in preparing church planters to plant churches that are healthy and vital and grace-filled. And the opportunity has to do with developing a residency program for future church planters. It's not all put together. The funding is not completely in place right now. We're in the early stages of talking about that. But I want to let you know that in terms of God's answers to prayer, I see this is the way God is leading, certainly in my life and also in Jane's life, that we're going to be moving from being more of a generalist in overseeing one large church to being a specialist in looking at preparing young church planters for the future development of future churches. And we believe this is a good match for my gifts, and then particularly as we work with couples that are heading into church planting, a great match for Jane's gifts as well as we work as a couple with other couples. So thank you for the praying that is already going on. On behalf of Valley Springs, on behalf of the Andersons, and then on behalf of Jane and myself for this next chapter in our lives. I'd like to read Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. If you're able to stand, please do so, and let's give our attention to this portion of God's Word. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 9. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's respond with thanksgiving. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. When we look at the whole Bible, we see that God's heart is about intimacy. It's about knowing and being known. But we see this particularly, God's heart, revealed to us in the Old Testament book of Hosea, where God compares His relationship to us as the relationship of intimacy between a wife and a husband, between a married couple. And one of the longings of God's heart is that we be responsive to His initiative of love toward us, not just so that we could be saved, or not just so that the mechanism of forgiveness would be at work in us, but so that there would be a relationship that is developed between God and us. We see this in Hosea chapter 2, where the analogy of marriage is so strong in this prophet's writings. And in verse 19, God says that I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It's about knowing God and being known by God. Hosea chapter 6, come, let us return to the Lord. Let us know. Let us press on to know Him. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And God's own sadness that's revealed throughout the Scriptures about our lack of desire to know Him is what gives new shape to the new covenant. The new covenant that's talked about in the Old Testament that's coming. And at the heart of that new covenant that Jesus would bring and that we are now a part of, that's being ratified in our lives and would be fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns, at the heart of that new covenant is that God will be for us and we will be for God, and He will know us and we will know Him. It's defined for us in many places, but particularly Jeremiah 31, verses 33 through 34. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. That we will know the Lord. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite psalms in Scripture. And I think one of the reasons it's a favorite for me and a favorite for many other people is because it puts this idea of knowing and being known at the forefront of our relationship with God. You have searched me, Lord. And you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And the rest of the psalm sings about this knowing and being known. And then we come to verses 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. On a human level, one of the things that we most long for is to be known. It's to be known well. I don't mean by a lot of people, and I don't mean by reputation. But have people who know who we are and love us. That's why people get married. Sometimes that's why people have children. That's why we make friends. That's why we find a church. And sometimes that's how we evaluate a church. And if that's true on the human level, how much more is that true on the level of our relationship to God? The deepest longing of the human heart is to be known by God and to know that you are known by God. And then to pursue that God by knowing Him. Those sad words that come at the end of a marriage or that come at the end of a business relationship or that come at the end of a friendship. She doesn't even know me. That's our longing. So for just a few moments this morning, I wanted us to see why it is that the Apostle Paul, as his second prayer request, prays very specifically that the Colossian Christians would grow in the knowledge of God. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 17, in verse 2, in this very important prayer that Jesus prays to his Father just hours before he is delivered over for his trial and death. Father, you granted the Son authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you. Jesus' definition of eternal life, that we know God, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Maybe more than in any other prayer, in this particular prayer, Jesus is seeing the whole story. He's seeing this story from pre-Edenic existence, before man and woman were created. What was in the heart of the mind of the three persons of the Trinity as they contemplated creating a universe, and particularly human beings who would reflect their glory and their relationship and their knowingness of one another as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the creation of this world. And then Jesus is looking at what happened in that garden and what happened in the area of knowing. And how Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They pursued a knowledge apart from knowing God. God had said to them, "Know me, and you will have everything that you need." And they pursued another form of knowledge on their own. And that brought the world into a breakdown. And then the plan of redemption has been enacted ever since. And Jesus has his eye not only on eternity past and then the launch of humanity in the Garden of Eden, but on into the future when he will see the fruit of all of his labors and hear the eve of his trial and death. He is thinking about why he's going to the cross. And he's thinking about that day that's described for us in Isaiah 11:9. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. What's been lost? What was lost in the fall? And what's lost even in our own consciences as we're born into this world, what's lost is the knowledge of God. Pursuing God is the one that we want to know, recognizing that He knows us thoroughly. And what's going to be restored in the new heavens and the earth, what Jesus came to purchase through His cross, through the redemption that He's given on our behalf, is not just to save our souls and not just to forgive a list of sins, but to create a whole new existence which is intricately involved in knowing God, in loving God. And when we know God, and when we know God intimately, and when we pursue knowing God, there is no hurt and there is no destruction in all of God's holy mountain, which will be the whole earth. It will be a new world. When people pursue knowing God, that's the redemption that Jesus came to bring. Jesus came so that we'd know God. We see this in 1 John 5:20 and 21. The Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. He is the true God and eternal life. There is an intricately bounded connection between knowing God and eternal life, because our eternal life will all be all about knowing God. Dear children, keep yourselves from everything that is a false god, everything that tells you you don't need to know God better, everything that smacks of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil apart from the knowledge of God Himself personally. Look at the reflection quote on the front of your bulletin day from J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God. What were we made for? To know God. What aim should we set ourselves in life? To know God. What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? Knowledge of God. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. What is the best thing in life, bringing more joy, delight, and contentment than anything else? Knowledge of God. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows Me. What of all the states God ever sees man in gives God the most pleasure? Knowledge of Himself. I desired the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings, says God. In these few sentences, we have said a very great deal. Our point is one to which every Christian heart will warm, though the person whose religion is merely formal will not be moved by it. And by this very fact, his unregenerate state may be known. What we have said provides at once a foundation, shape, and goal for our lives, plus a principle of priorities and a scale of values. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The way by which we become wise, the way by which we have a gospel-redeemed wisdom for everyday life, in helping one another and resolving problems and moving forward, it comes through the mind of Christ and the knowing of God. And that brings us wisdom and understanding. So I commend to you that in 2014, we pray. We pray that we might begin living in the reality of our eternal life now by growing in the knowledge of God. That's where you're headed. Pursue it now. Pray for Valley Springs as a whole, for people you know, for our leaders, for yourself, and for Jane and me. Pray that we'd be growing in the knowledge of God. That's more important than what's going to happen next month. That's more important than a congregational meeting here in 3 weeks. It's more important than the 25th anniversary. It's more important than some job that might be opening up for Jane and me. More important than all of those things is, in the midst of that, are we growing in the knowledge of God? And growing in the knowledge of God means that we are knowing God as He truly is. This is not some vague feeling or some vague sense. This is actually getting to know God as a person who has likes and dislikes, whose character is a perfect and holy character. Look at what Paul says as he prays a corresponding prayer in Ephesians to the prayer that he's been praying here in Colossians. And he says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." He's praying the same thing, that they might grow in the knowledge of God, but grow in the knowledge of God as God truly is. So God is a God who's made up of attributes. And one of those attributes is love. And if we're going to get to know God, we need to get to know God's love. I didn't realize how much my parents loved me until I had my own kids. I don't realize how much Christ loves me. And nor do you realize how much Christ loves you. And the Apostle Paul says, if you're going to grow in the knowledge of God, you're going to grow in your exploration of the love of Christ for you. That's part of what it means to grow in the knowledge of God. And he uses words like grasping it. And then he says, you're going to get to that point where you think you know it, but what's really there is even beyond knowing. It's knowing, but it's knowing by experience. And it does involve cognitive truths and things that are true and things that are false and things that are right and things that are wrong, things that God is and things that God isn't. And that's cognitive. But it moves into beyond cognitive. It moves into experience. And that moves us into eternity when we will be enveloped by the love of God. And we will know it by tasting it and by experiencing it. In this Jeremiah passage that J.I. Packer quoted earlier, this is what the Lord says: "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me." And what are they to know about him? "That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight." One of the challenges that I know is going to be very great for Jane and me over these next months is to not be here. It's going to be a very big challenge because this is a place where we feel very known. We feel known and loved, and that will not be replaced. And this whole idea of knowing, God is calling us, and through the pain of this, we know God has a purpose. And yet that's going to be hard, that's going to be difficult, because being in a community where you are known and where you know others and where you're loved in the midst of that, that's what's so delightful. My characteristics and my strengths and my weaknesses, and those of you who know me well, and we can kid about those things, but I'm loved in the midst of my strengths and in the midst of my weaknesses. And what God delights in is as we get to know him for who he is, as we get to know him in his kindness, as we get to know him in his justice, as we get to know him in his righteousness, as we get to know him in his love. And so Paul pushes us and prods us to pursue knowing God as God truly is. our confessions of faith and our catechisms try to help us get these ideas firmed up in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Number 4 says, what is God? That is, what is God like? Who is God? What's the nature of God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, in his wisdom, in his power, in his holiness, in his justice, in his goodness, and in his truth. Getting to know God means that we're getting to know his infinity and his eternity, his immutability, the nature of his being, his wisdom, his power, his holiness, his love, his justice, his goodness, and his truth. I teach a course at William Jessup University called Christian Perspective. It's in the philosophy department and is a required course for all graduating seniors. And it is to help them develop a Christian worldview. And we have a segment of that class that has a couple of weeks on basic foundational theology. And so 2 weeks ago, I was leading a discussion and giving a lecture on the attributes of God. And I gave a question of the week for my students to answer. I give them one each week and just for short answers. And the question of the week that week was, choose one of God's attributes that we discussed in class, and what would it be like if the people in your church really believed that attribute to be true of God? This is one of the answers I got. If the people in my church really believed that God was sovereign, I think they would live their lives with less fear and anxiety. We base a lot of what our day looks like and what we do by the circumstances we face daily. If we knew that God put those things in front of us and believed that he was in control of our lives, then we would replace fear with faith in his sovereignty and love. I think that a practical way this could be lived out would be to start giving little things over to the Lord so that we can actively develop a culture that honestly exemplifies God's true sovereign nature. It's as we get to know God in his specific attributes, whether it's his sovereignty or his immutability or his love or his justice, that our lives begin to change. Because knowledge of God changes how we think and how we navigate through our challenges. And so I'd like to close today by challenging all of us to make knowing God the pursuit of your life. The pursuit of your life. I'm asking God to help make me pursue knowing him as a major emphasis in my life in 2014. Look what Paul says in Philippians 3, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And he's not talking about knowing Jesus when Jesus walked on this earth. Paul never had that experience. He's talking about the same kind of relationship with Jesus that you and I have. It's not what John had. It's not what Peter had. It's what you and I have today. It's not like we see Jesus walking up to us. But this is the kind of relationship that has the potential, even though it is by faith, it has the potential of changing us. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He says it again. I press on. That's what Hosea had said in Hosea chapter 6. Let us press on to know the Lord. So how are you pressing on with knowing the Lord in 2014? Because this is a call to pray, I would challenge you to pray for one another, for Valley Springs, for our leadership, for yourself, for me. Pray that we be a people that are known more for knowing God than something else we might do in terms of our programs or our activities as a church or the callings that we think we have to do and accomplish something. Those flow out of knowing the Lord, and they will bear fruit when it's based in knowing the Lord. Secondly, orient your time around knowing God. We all have 24 hours. We all make the same kind of decisions as to how we spend our time, particularly our consumable extra time. We're not getting paid on the job to do a certain task. And that consumable time that we have, that we have an opportunity to wrestle with and do something with, orient your time around knowing God. I look at these wonderful opportunities at Valley Springs, opportunities that I've been involved in helping to form over the years. I'm so excited about what happens here. I think of support groups that are going on, the new opportunity for Genesis process, for Break Free that's happening for women who are struggling with difficulties in their past sexually. I think of financial classes that we have for a new divorce care that's just beginning to come along. And I remember a story from just last year, a woman who had just come to Valley Springs just a couple of times, but who was struggling in her marriage, and she saw something in the bulletin about divorce care. And she went to divorce care at Valley Springs, and her marriage is restored. But even more importantly, her knowledge of God has begun to take root in her life. And she's the things about knowing God and walking with God, and it happened through trying to solve a problem that she had in her life, but to do it in the context of knowing God, which is what happens in divorce care. I think of small groups. I went to a small group two Thursday nights ago, and it was so much fun. They put me on the hot seat to ask me a battery of questions about heaven, half of which I could not answer. In about 50 years, I could answer those questions, but I can't answer those questions right now. But it was so much fun to sit there and interact with that small group, because they get together every Thursday night and they pursue knowing God. That's what small groups do. We pursue knowing God. The men's group, 33 the series. I've taken session one. I've taken session two. It has been a delight to be there, to sit under the instruction of the videos, to sit under Brad Anderson's instruction, to be at my table with my group. I've been growing so much through 33 the series. I commend this series to men in this church. It's a way to pursue knowing God. A new session begins this Saturday morning at 7:30. I encourage you to get involved. Women's groups at Valley Springs. I meander into women's groups occasionally and to hear what's going on and hear what's being taught and hear what women are discussing. The classes that happen here. Sunday morning classes at the 9 o'clock hour. Sunday morning classes at the 10:45 hour. Studying the Bible, the goal to know God and to allow the knowledge of God to change us. And so I challenge you, let's pray for ourselves that we might be those who make knowing God our priority for 2014, preparing ourselves for eternity. Please pray with me. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that this is why Jesus came. He came to accomplish certain tasks that need to be accomplished so that the barrier between us and you can be removed, so that we can recognize who we are and all kinds of things about eternity and salvation. But at the root, Jesus came that we might know you, and that we might discover how much you know and love us, and to prepare us for an eternity of that kind of intimacy. And Lord, may we honor our Savior by navigating through this aspect of what it means to mature as a Christian. May we pray for one another. May we pray for our leaders. May we pray for our church, that we might grow in the knowledge of God in 2014. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.